So if you're wondering what I'm doing sitting here, Randy asked me to share the session, so I said yes, with fear and trembling, but hallelujah. I think that instead of sharing something, I am just going to recap what has been shared and what the Lord has already spoken to us, and just go through the verses and scriptures from some of the things that I've been receiving alongside of you, so that together these things can become established in us, and not just teachings, but something for the Father, His Son, in a real way. And so that's what we're going to do here in this session. It's going to be very important to have the Word of God in front of you, because we are going to look into the Scriptures this morning. We are going to let the Word of God speak and come under the authority of the Word, but not me, because I am here truly, 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 truly seeking the Lord. Amen. And when I say this, I mean it from my heart. I am not coming as a teacher or someone who knows anything. I'd say a woman, but I look more at myself like just a little girl sitting down at the feet of Jesus, needing Him with every fiber of my being, with a wonderful group of people who feel the same. So let's enter into this in that spirit. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and I feel like the Lord gave the notes from all the sharings that we've been receiving, just things that came to my heart this morning in a very specific and organized fashion. And so I am going to follow that, because I do believe that is the order He gave. So in Luke chapter 15, let's go to verse 11. The first three words are, "And He said," that's the Son. The He there, "And He said," that's the Son. He would know, wouldn't He?
Mm-hmm.
He would really know. "And He said," that's the Son, "a certain man," and I just felt the Holy Spirit pause right there, "a certain man." This man is a father. The Son knows that, but right now it's veiled in the mystery of a parable. Yet His fatherhood is found and defined in the beginning, and we heard that in one of the earlier sessions. So let's go to John chapter 1, holding our place always in Luke chapter 15. We'll always be going back there. But considering a certain man, let's go to John 1:1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just from our beginning here, I felt the Holy Spirit when that was shared just say, man, God is beginning in His beginning. I remember when Sister Nuala talked about the Trinity, that we were beginning to be gathered up into them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. This certain man that's found in this parable that the Son is talking about, this certain man, He is a father. And He's a father from the beginning where the Son knew Him. And I'm just going to stop right now and ask that we would ask the Holy Spirit, because this is how He's been dealing with my heart since I came on this trip, not to bring us into the Word of the Scriptures, but into the Word that's in the beginning, to bring us. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent. He was sent from God to bring us up there into them through the Son, not into the teachings in a book, not into the understanding in our mind, but the Spirit was sent from their realm that we might receive out from them the things of who they are. And if we approach it with a veil, just looking at the earth, looking at Scriptures with our mind, we're going to miss where the Son is trying to take us, where the Son came from, who the Son's talking about, what He's seeing, where His heart is. So let's just pause right now. Lord, we just want to start in Your beginning. Many times we begin with our notes, And we begin with the scriptures and how we've understood them in the past, and we begin with a parable that we've heard so many times, and we've got all of the understandings in our mind. But Lord, you began this time saying, in the beginning, in my beginning, in the beginning before you, there was a certain Father, and that we were to start with you there. And that if we didn't, it wouldn't make sense. If we laid all of our old understandings, if we approached it from our beginning, our first birth, it would just not resonate. So Holy Spirit, take us to that beginning. Only you can. The beginning that is God. The beginning that John chapter 1, verse 1 speaks of. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen? Mm-hmm. And the Word was with God. And so, again, what's been shared before, but that was one of the things that hit me, that the Son, the Word, the Son, in the Gospel of John, the Word is defined as the Son. You know, that He was with God in the beginning, in the eternal. With the Father and the Son. Before I was born, before we were born, I was just meditating during this time, that the Father and the Son, they were together. He was daily His delight. That there's no words, there's no verse to put to the Father and the Son who were always with one another in oneness and in love. In the beginning, the Word was with God. In verse, I believe it's 5, it goes right down to say that without Him, nothing was made. If we could hear that from a father's heart. Without Him, without my Son, nothing's made. Without my Son who is with me from the beginning, nothing is made. Without my Son who is with me from the beginning, nothing is made. And we resonate those verses that were shared. The prodigal says, Father, make me. Remember that in the prodigal story? He said, Father, make me. And I just hearken back to these verses in John 1. Without my Son that was with me from the beginning, nothing was made. No Son was made. Nothing was made. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Make me. Make me. Make me, He said. Without my Son that was with me from the beginning, nothing will be made. By Him all things are made. That's how big He is in the Father's heart. By Him all things are made. Hallelujah. There's been so much shared, so much. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us into the fullness. And then it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, in the same progression, but as many as received Him, they had the power to become sons. But as many as received Him, who is the Him? It's the Son that was with Him from the beginning. As many as received Him, they had the power to become sons. Who is this? Verse 14 says, this is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this Son that's being talked of in these verses? It's the only begotten. At this time when Jesus came before He was crucified in this gospel, He was the only begotten of the Father. In verse 18 down there, it says, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. You know, Word of God speak, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can translate those verses straight from the Father's heart. The only begotten Son is the one that was in the bosom of the Father with Him from the beginning, worlds without end, eternity past, before us, before all creation. He was in the bosom of the Father. They were with one another. Hallelujah. Without Him was nothing made. Father, make me as one of thine hired servants. But for all who receive Him, we have the power to become sons. Amen. By Him were all things made.
Also in verse 13 it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Like, not of the first birth.
Not of the first birth. but out from that.
Yeah.
So we started with the certain man, and we stopped right there and said it was the Son of God, the Son from the bosom of the Father, who said it was a certain man. Can you see him saying this to these these sin, a certain man? It's my Father.
Mm-hmm.
The one from the beginning. A certain man had sons. And the next verse goes down to say, this certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. And I just, those two words that came in verse 12 continued opening up the reality of this in the son's heart, that it wasn't just a certain man, it was the father. And the son said, Father, give me the portion that falleth to me. Okay. So here we go. So in the same breath that the prodigal says, Father, he says, give me. Father, give me. So he is not seeing the son that is from the beginning. This prodigal is not seeing the father who has had this relationship of love in his bosom all of eternity. He sees there's God. God is a father. God is my father. He's a certain man, and I am in his family. And my first relationship with him is going to say, Father, give me. Give me. Give me, Kelly. Give me. Unaware of his son, his heart, the things that God's been opening up to us this week, his joy, his desire, who he really is. He just says, give me, not your son and me. Give Kelly. Give me all the goods that fall to me, to Kelly. All the goods that fall to Kelly. Give me all of them. Ouch. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says, God hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things. Who is the heir of all things? Kelly. All things. Give unto me all things that pertaineth to me. All things. Father, who had a son in his heart from eternity past, give me everything that pertaineth to me. And he said, I will. I'll give you the cross. No, but, you know, but he gives me the gifts. All those things that I love. The anointings. The ministry. The name. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The things that we take from God that make us something. The things that bring our flesh and make it rise and make it have to be seen and make it have to be somebody and have to have an important place and everyone know it. Mm-hmm. Have to be needed and looked at and approved of.
Yeah.
Have to be someone. We want to be someone to God and everybody else, don't we? I do. I mean, I'm speaking to myself. And so the son goes to his father, unaware of his heart, unaware of who he is, unaware of what makes his heart beat from eternity. And he goes, Father, misusing that word, give me everything that pertaineth to me, all that falls to me. Let's look at verse 13. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. And so those three words, gathered, took, and far country, stood out to me. That when we're given something, and it's not us being crucified, and it's not the Son in us, we gather it to ourselves, we take it, and we take it far, far away from the Father's heart. Lord, give me a ministry. Give me an anointing. Give me an important place in the body. Give me a position. Give me something that makes me feel needed and special in the household of God. And we take it to ourselves, and we gather it up, and we add it to our flesh, and we increase, and we go far, far away from the Father's heart for his Son.
Mm-hmm.
And we run out there into the world, into this far country, so far from the realm of the Trinity. And we gobble it up and gather it in and try to be something. And we join ourselves not to the Father's heart by the Son, not to the Son by the Spirit. We join ourselves to every vile thing that we call holy. And we say, oh, this is for God. This is the Lord, and this is pleasing the Father, and look how He's using me, look who I am. And where's the Father? And what does He see? What is the Father seeing? He's not seeing His Son. He's seeing something that was crucified in His Son. Living well, well away from the realm of life. What is the realm of life? What is eternal life?
The Son.
What does the Scriptures in 1 John chapter 1 say eternal life is? It was shared. And this is eternal life. The relationship between the Father and the Son. Far away from the life. He's far away from the Father's heart. He's as far as He could stray. And He's doing it for all the reasons that sometimes Christianity says is the thing to do. He's doing it to be somebody for God. He's doing it to do something for God. He's doing it so He can be God's man. He's doing it so He can be the vessel that God can use. But He's doing and taking all His goods unto Him. He's taking it unto Himself. It's not the Son in Him. He's taking it unto Himself. And He's going far away from the Father. The Bible calls it squandering. He's just squandering it. You know, there's been so many times recently and in the past 10 years where the Lord has said, you know, I gave you something so precious. You gathered it into yourself. You added it to Kelly. You let it make you something. And you squandered it in a far country where I gave that so it could be Christ formed in you, and that my Son could manifest through you in His self-giving nature, and it would release life everywhere and not be squandered and not be added to things that aren't Him. Amen. Mm-hmm. But at this point, this Son was prodigal. He didn't know His Father's heart. He didn't see that Son that was in His heart. He just saw the part that was supposed to be given to Him. He didn't see the cross. That followeth to me. Well, one of the things that I've been so blessed with this week is that the beauty that the time of life was when the Father allowed all these realities to come. There was a season when all, in the prodigal, in the Shunammite, in 2 Kings 4, there was this point when all those things began to come, hit in the heart of the Shunammite, hit in the heart of the prodigal. And we say, well, I'm depressed and this is awful. But the Lord's saying, praise God, you're finally seeing you're not the one. I mean, the Father's getting excited back there, and we're getting depressed, and He's going, hey, this is the time of life. We thought the time of life was when God was using us while we were squandering all His things to make us something. To us, that's the time of life. Here, the time of life was when God was using me on that outreach, and everyone thought I was something, and I thought I was something, and I was great, and you know, and I was squandering it. But I called it the time of life. But the Father says, this Shunammite woman's weeping over her dead son. She's frustrated. She's a little bit angry with the man of God. She's doesn't have a, you know, she's like, I want to know, and I don't want to know from the servant. I want to know from the man. I need the crucifix. I need the real thing. You go, you will have an attitude. This is not the time of life. But God's going, man, I'm fixing to lay the crucified over her three times until that dead son, that crucified Christ, is in her. That's the Son the Father loved. This is the time of life. We go, no, it's not. It's the time to get depressed. It's the time to say I'm a failure. Yeah. But get depressed straight under the cross and be crucified. Hey, I'm all for depression if it takes you straight to the point where you're willing to acknowledge I'm crucified with Christ. Get as depressed as you possibly can. Just go for it. Just let her rip. You know, we're all so, oh, depression. Don't let anybody get depressed. Goodness, we wouldn't want to share the cross and depress somebody. God forbid that we Christians would depress anyone. Oh, protect them from depression. Let them get depressed. Let them get frustrated. Let them get sick of their stinky, vile flesh that everybody smells, and the Father most of all smells, and it's a stench, and it's not His Son. And let it bring them to the time of life. Whose life? The Son. How can it be the Son's life until we, in a real way, acknowledge we're not the life, and not just acknowledge it, but acknowledge it under the death of the cross? The time of life is the time of our death. And it's the time of the Son getting His rightful place to the Father's heart in His body. And that requires the end of us. But until we get so swine-fed, sick and tired of all the gifts that we called God's glory. Mm-hmm. And it was not Christ in us. Until that moment comes, we're not at the time of life yet. Mm-hmm. And I've written the newsletter, oh, it's the time of life. What an outreach we had. Good Lord, it was the time of life. Oh, won't you acknowledge it with me? Won't you glory in the ministry? Won't you glory in the gifts of the Spirit? Won't you glory in me? I wouldn't say that, but of course, my flesh is crying out for glory, and I'm speaking of myself. And God goes, boy, you are as far from the time, you are prodigal from my heart. That is a far country from the Trinity, from the beginning, from the Father and the Son going, like Nuala said, little froggy, that little baby, that little unformed baby, where she said she saw the Trinity in this little baby, the size of the Father's hand. She worked, Sister Nuala in the convent here, worked in a baby ward where the throwaway babies were left to die, And she said, and she has told me this story probably 15 times now, because it impacted her. It wasn't just, it changed her. And she said, I saw the Trinity in this father, this big old man. She said it was big, you know, this big belly, big bunny. And he's holding in his hand his little baby that she called Froggy because he just looked like a little frog. And she said, they weren't saying a word, but the love that was going between this little baby and its father without any words. She said, I looked at that and I said, I see the Trinity. She said, the Lord showed me the Father and the Son and the love. You know, that's just a picture. But imagine to really see that. And then replace that with my newsletter ministry trip events. Yeah, exactly. How far is that country? How far is that country the prodigal took all the things the Father gave him because he was born again, he was saved, he was in the Father's family. Amen. This is a son. This isn't an unsaved person. This is me. And this is you. This is us. Until it's Christ and not us. This is us until it's Christ the Son and not us. This is us until it's not us. No, picking on no one, picking on everybody. All flesh is flesh. And the Son is the Son and there's only one. And he's in all of us. But we got to go through this process. Or we're prodigal. We're prodigal in our hearts. We're prodigal in our glory. You know, just before I came here, the Lord said to me, Kelly, you glory in everything except what I glory in. Okay. Yeah, I'm like, hey, if I have ever to say a word of correction to anyone, God knoweth. I'm the queen of receiving it because I need so much. Yeah, he said, you glory in everything but my crucified son. Why do you glory in that? And I said, why am I glorying in all this stuff? I mean, I had to ask myself, why? You know, I don't want to say, it's wrong, I won't do it. Have you ever done that? Yeah, it's wrong, I won't do it, and you're going to do it. Why, you know, until it's the Son.
Yeah.
But we got to get to the Son. Haven't you felt the Father trying to get us there in a real way, not a teaching? So I'm going, Lord, why am I glorying in all this? I mean, I know I shouldn't, but I do. Why? And he said, you haven't seen what I glory in. I glory in that slaughtered lamb who bears my nature, who gives. I exalt him higher than anything. He made himself lower than anyone, and he was my son. No, listen, from the beginning, he was my son. And he went down into the hog pen. He made himself not just a man, but a servant, not just a servant, but a criminal on a cross. Crucified, slaughtered, a slaughter. He made himself the off-scourging of the earth. He made himself sin. But he did that because he has that nature of selfless giving that is only God's nature. That's the divine nature. That slaughtered lamb manifesting that divine nature out is the most beautiful thing. I glory in it. And I exalt it. Randy shared this. Second, or Philippians chapter 2, I exalt that son, that slaughtered lamb, that feast that he was bringing, the prodigal, remember? It comes, this was shared with us. He said, I exalt that son to my right hand. He's the joy forevermore of all who know my heart. He said, Kelly, you exalt everything else. You exalt your good works. You exalt your fasting. How long can I sit and fast? Can I outfast everybody? Why do you have to be the one who outfasts everybody and outprays everybody and outshares everybody? Why? Because you are glorying in something that's not what the Father glories in. You're glorying in your willpower. You're glorying in your dedication. I'm glorying in my ability to see Jesus in the Scriptures. I'm glorying in all the things God can do for me, but I'm not glorying in what the Father's glorying in. Mm. How can you get free from a works mentality? You start seeing what the Father loves.
Amen.
And you will stop loving all those things that you think are Jesus. But they are prodigal from the Father's heart. They're prodigal.
Wow.
They're prodigal. From where? From the Father's heart. They are a far, far, far country from Him who was in the beginning. Who daily was in with the God in oneness. In the bosom of the Father. Daily His delight. All His joy. Whenever that open heaven happens, what comes out? Remember what was said? The Scriptures say, that is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. What else is the Father going to say? That is my minister in whom I'm well pleased. Because they went so far. They ate less than everyone. Spoke more than everyone. Fasted more than That's my Son. Man, if they give their body to be burned in, it's not my Son. Who is it nothing to?
The Father.
It's nothing to the Father. It may be a big something, even to the history of man, even to the history of the church. We may have memorialized the flesh, but only the Father knows if that was the Son. Who are we trying to impress? Whose heart are we trying to reach? This was also shared. When you do this, do it in your closet, when you pray, when you fast. Remember Jesus said this, do it in your closet. Why?
Your Father who's in secret will see you.
Your Father who's in heaven will see you. He said, I'm just trying to reach my Father's heart. He knows His Son. Where is His Son right now?
In us.
He's in us. And the Father knew that was true of the prodigal. The prodigal didn't know it. The prodigal knew he was saved. The prodigal knew Christ was in him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But the prodigal, let's just say Kelly, sadly, didn't know the Father's heart to such a depth where it just ripped and tore me out of that far country and started driving me back home to Him. Like the Shunammite on her donkey. Oh man, I gotta say, you know, maybe this week we just got a little whiff, right? Just a little, something you can't remember, you can't recall, but you felt it in your gut. Your spirit said, oh my God, and just for 1 second in all those sharings, something in me broke with the earth, broke with my mind, broke with my religion, broke with my prodigal heart, said, oh my gosh, there's something more. And that was it. The veil went back up. But that veil ripped for just a moment. Then the Shunammite in chapter 4 of 2 Kings said, well, then I am getting on my donkey, slacking not. I'm going to ride this until it takes me into the Father's heart and I abide in His house forever. Isn't that what David said? That I may dwell in your house forever. That's only going to happen by the Son. David wasn't such a lover of God that he earned the right to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's only one who dwells in the house of the Lord forever. Who is that? The Son and all those who are part of that Son, because now in His death He made us one. And it is that Son in us. But we don't always relate by that Son. But we could. And the Father knows we could. And so He's waiting. When will you come to me by my Son? When will you approach me by my Son? When will you just start turning in that direction? When will you decide to not be special and all things and gathered unto you and somebody apart? When will you be ready to just be broken and depressed and a failure and, good Lord, what have I done? And say, but I'm open to the Son now. What does the Father do? He runs. Could you hear that reverberating in the spirit of God's heart? If you didn't, let me tell you. The whole time. Have you ever heard the verses that say the heavens rejoice? The heavens rejoice when just one heart begins to turn in the direction of giving the Father the Son. Just begins to turn. It's the first step. But we have to keep turning and we have to keep returning until we are so swallowed up in the Father that He begins to take us what? Into that slaughtered Son and feed Him to us. Mm-hmm. Reveal Him in us. Breathe that essence out and in and out. That this is the one that's in you. Mm-hmm. This is the one that's meant to be your life. This is the one that's meant to be our relationship. You're supposed to be a partaker of this that was from the beginning, because now that Son is in you. You're meant to be you're meant to live in this relationship. Because the Son is in. Am I crazy here? Or this is because that Son that was from the beginning is in me now. I can choose every day to live in the Father's house and by that Son be swallowed up in that relationship called eternal life. Or I can choose to live down in the earth in a far country in Kelly, doing my best for God, depressed, overcome, confused, freaked out, jealous, competitive, always trying to be better, depressed when I'm not good enough, eating hog food because I'm gathering all this stuff to my flesh instead of taking my flesh to the cross where it was crucified, saying, you are not the Son of the Father's love. You are dead because Jesus put you away. You are not allowed to live anymore because you've been crucified. And I'm going to bring the Father his Son. I'm going to set my heart on that Son, the Son of his love. My focus is going to be the Father's focus. My goal is going to be the Father's goal. His Son in us. His Son how? Well, remember, in two stories we had, my son was dead. That's the Shunammite in 2 Kings 4. But listen, in this story in Luke, the son was also dead too. This is my son who was dead. It's great to have all the teachings. It's great to have all the inspirational anointings when we get in the words we can share and sing about it. I speak to myself. But that son in me has been dead. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, Christ is my life. Yes, I've been crucified with Christ. Yeah, all those things are true. And they're true to the Father. That's why he loved the Son in this manner. But the relationship that I've been living by hasn't been that. So it's been dead. It's been a dead son in there. It was that dead son needs to come back. Remember it was shared? Not just be warmed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like Peter and be warmed by the flame and then go home and deny Christ three times because it's not Christ formed in me. If I just get warmed, but the Son doesn't get formed, then I will eventually deny the Lord again and again and again, because all flesh is flesh. We have to be consumed by the cross, and then we have to be consumed by the sacrifice who is now that crucified Son in us. We can't just be warned. We have to say to the Holy Spirit, say that Holy Spirit is that man of God. Lay over me as the very crucified Christ himself until I am not just warmed, but I am eating that sacrifice and it is entering into my blood and into my gut and into my mind is being renewed and my nature is changing and my thought life is coming from the spirit of a slaughtered lamb and it's emanating out attitudes of the spirit of the Son. And it's changing the way I live. So the son that was dead in me because it was just a doctrine is now alive by the spirit and nature of Christ in attitudes, in reactions, in thoughts, in a heart that doesn't judge. You see what I'm saying? The living son. The living son. Is it too much to say the Father wants a living son in his church? A living son that lays his life down for others? Or just a warmed church that continues to offer up things that are like hog food? We don't want to feed the Father hog food. We want to bring the Father his Son. We want to bring the Father his Son. That's why we're here. That's, you know, I hope I'm not being too strong because I'm really just talking to myself, really. If there's any strength coming out, please forgive me because it's my own soul I'm preaching to. I am in that place of needing the Lord. I'm strong because it's hitting me deep. I'm strong because it's hitting me deep. Please forgive me. Please forgive me if I'm coming across like I'm saying it to you. Really, I mean this. And in these ways, I still need more of the Son. You know, see, I need more of the Son. So I will have attitudes and ways that aren't right. All my hope is that Christ be formed in me for you. I need the Son. I need the Son. So.
I was just looking at where it's talking about the elder son, starting in verse 28, it says, but he was angry and would not go in. And, you know, I was just thinking about how, you know, the elder son was just as prodigal as the other son. He was just masking it, and he was masking it with the same things that you were talking about, with his own works, because he says, lo, these many years I have been serving you and never transgressed your commandment. He's glorying in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's glorying in that, and he's it's like he's saying, you know, look at what I've done, Father, and yet, you know, saying he never went in. He was right there with the Father, but he never entered into his heart. And it goes on to say, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave. You never gave me. You know, and by that same exact spirit and heart, you know. And I was just seeing myself in that elder son, you know, just thinking somehow that the Lord owes us something. Mm-hmm. When he just wants to draw us into his heart.
Mm-hmm. He said, I perish with hunger. The Holy Spirit landed on that word perish and said, I am ready to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
I perish with hunger. Before, what was the hunger for in the beginning?
The steak of flesh.
Yeah, to get, his flesh was hungry for hog food, and he was going to the dad to get it, going to the father for hog food. But now he said, when he's ready to come back to the son, he says, I perish with hunger.
Amen.
I am ready to stop feeding my flesh, but crucified. I'm ready to perish with Christ on the cross, which truly has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am hungry for something that is not pig food. I am hungry for what the Father is eating. I am hungry for what feeds his heart. I am hungry. Haven't you ever come to a concert and said, man, I feel fed, but I feel it's all going to me.
Yes.
I feel it's making me more. It was spoke, leaven makes us rise, and we're supposed to get that leaven out. But we're feeding that leaven. We're in, instead of I must decrease, he must increase, and I must decrease, we're increasing. Mm-hmm. We're adding. We're gathering those things to ourselves. And so that hunger is just for pig food, flesh food. Feeding our flesh so it grows. Instead of it decreasing for Christ to have all preeminence. But here, in the time of life that felt so horrible to him in his circumstances, he goes, I perish with hunger. I'm ready to end the pig food. I'm hungry for what the Father eats. What is going on in his house? Even his servants are eating things. I'm out here and far country, eating pig food with the swine. But in my Father's house, they're eating something different. Even the servants are. Well, I perish with hunger. I want to eat the food that's there. That hunger is a whole different kind of hunger, isn't it? It's the hunger that's drawing him back to the Father. The other hunger drew him away from the Father. The hunger to be somebody and do something for God took him way away into a far country.
Mm.
But the hunger, when he realized all that was just feeding his flesh and making him further and further from God's heart, glorying in things the Father hates, all of a sudden the hunger hit him and he said, I'm hungry and I'm going to go back to my Father now to get fed. There's something in the Father that's going to feed me, and it's different than all that.
God was talking about the elder son, and when the elder son wanted to partake, which, like the younger son, he wanted to partake of this fat of the calf, but he had the wrong attitude because he thought, by partaking of Christ crucified, if he turned the fat calf into Christ crucified, he was going to be married, and he was going to be married to his friends. But still, I have no idea what's in my Father's heart. When you're then talking about the prodigal son getting hungry and wanting the wrong things, and then the hunger drove him back. Now listen here, he could have gone to any house and any place and been a servant. But because Christ is in him, even though it's dead, mm-hmm. not formed or unformed, it what all started to do was I could hear my Father not getting what he wanted.
Mm.
And I couldn't even be moved by that. That's what broke my
heart. Yeah.
I don't care about what's in the Father's
heart.
Yeah. And that breaks my heart.
That's right.
And I want to, like, even feel something.
Yes, yes.
That's
that dullness. Yeah. I feel it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we're crying out for. We're with you in that heart cry.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of hunger now. Mm-hmm. Verse 18 follows with the prodigal saying these words, I will arise. Listen, I will arise. I'm not arising to heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not arising to the spirit realm. I mean, yes, these things are true in themselves, but I'm speaking in this moment mm-hmm. from this heart. I'm not arising to heavenly places. I'm not arising to the above realm. I'm not arising to the spirit realm. I'm arising. It says, I will arise and go to my Father. I will go to my Father. You know, so many times, the in Christ doctrine, not the reality, but the doctrine, the heavenly places in Christ mind view, is so dead. It's dead in my heart. But when something like what Geraldine was just saying, something begins to stir of a hunger for the one who is seated in the heart of the Father, whom I'm in. I mean, I am. We are together raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ, the Son. But there's a hunger in my heart to rise. I will rise and go to my Father. This is a whole new motivation for abiding in the realm of the Son. I want to rise. I want to take my position in Christ. I want to abide in Christ. I want to dwell in the Son because I'm going to my Father there. By that position above, in Son, in Christ, in heavenly places, by my place swallowed up in Christ, I go to my Father. I go to my Father. How many times have I listened to the reality of being in Christ, and it's all been about my mind understanding being in Christ and me doctrinalizing it in a book, sharing it in a conversation, but I've never gone to my Father. I never went there and abode there to go to my Father and bring him his Son. There's a total different heart motive. It's, and I'm guilty of the first. I'm prodigal, but I'm coming home, Dad. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm saying all these things today to tell my Father, I'm coming home, Dad. I hope you're getting excited because I may be the most prodigal here, but my heart is turning in your direction right now. And I'm not going to just get hungry. I'm ready to perish on that cross so I can eat your food. And I'm not just going to rise up again. I'm going to go to my Father this time. I'm not just going to get up and understand that I'm in Christ. I'm going to go to my Father through the Son. It's a different heart. But that's the time of life. You get so tired of the pig food, so tired of glorying in your flesh, so tired of taking everything into your brain and never blessing the Father with the Son. But you start perishing. You do get upset. You do come to an end of yourself. That's a good thing. I believe I've seen it so many times in my own self where I have protected somebody from the cross. Mm. I've protected them from the time of life. Mm. I've saved them from the Father getting his Son in them. I have literally saved people from the Father and his Son out of them. Because when they came to that point where they were ready to perish, where they were ready to quit being the one the Father wanted, I bolstered their flesh. I encouraged them in their own goodness. I confirmed them in their giftings. I said, you know what? You really are. God loves you. And what I meant was he loves your flesh. He loves your heart. He loves your willpower. He loves your ability to go the extra mile. Instead of saying, God loves his Son. And he crucified you. And he put his Son in you so that you could give him the thing he wants, his Son. Guess what, Alana? You've got a Son in you. That's what Kyle wants on the day you go into labor. He wants this. You've got everything he wants in you. You know, it would be like me saying, well, on the day you bring forth, you know, make sure your hair is curled. Get that mascara right, girl. What are you going to wear? What are you going to wear in there? Because you need to look good. You know what? And who cares about that baby? You just make sure that man looks at you and says, that's my woman. I love her dress. Her eye color is so beautiful. You don't care. You're like, I'm giving you your Son, Kyle. I look the worst today of my whole life, but I'm happier than I've ever been because I look in your eyes and you say, I got a Son. And I'm the one who gave it to him, but it isn't me. It's the Son that's making him. Why did I worry about my eyeliner, my makeup, what kind of hair, my hairdo, why was I thinking about me? When everything he wants is in me. The Son. Yeah. I got just what he wants. And I've been trying to clean up this earthen vessel. How many times have we heard that this weekend? Mm-hmm. Cleaning up this earthen vessel instead of realizing there's a treasure in him. Father's going, oh, you've got a treasure in you. My Son's in you. Got a treasure in you. I see, if you were in a huge beach like down at Magnamore, and just one little grain of sand was the Sun on the beach, shining, he'd say, oh, I saw a sparkle on that beach. That was my Son. He was sparkling for a moment. His eyes are that keen to Christ in us when he's living. Because he knows that Sun from the beginning. He goes, ooh, there's a little sparkle. There's a little turn. He starts getting excited. Did you see it in the parable? Who is telling this parable?
The son.
The son! He knows his dad. He's like, wow. Just a little sparkle. My dad's like, ooh, get the binoculars out. Holy Spirit, hand him over this direction. Thank you. Ooh, look at, they're getting desperate. They're perishing with hunger. They're quitting on themselves. They're sick of the hog food. There's a chance they might start turning around in my direction, thinking about what's in my heart. When they come close enough, guess what I'm going to do? And the Holy Spirit's like, just wait a second. Just give him a little nod. Because you can see the Father's kind of like going like this. I'm going to go get him now. I'm ready to go get him now. Holy Spirit's like, give me another day to just get him, you know, totally at the end of themselves. Hurry! And this does not happen. But it's just, you know, it's one of my bad skits. Hurry! I'm ready. And the Holy Spirit's like, just, I'm going to do one more thing. That's just going to nail them right onto that cross in their heart and say, you know, there's no hope for you. It's going to be ugly, and it's going to be rough. But they're going to start to perish with hunger and turn around. The Holy Spirit does it. It's awful. And then, have you ever said, that was the worst day of my life? That was the best day of my life? You know why? Because that was the worst day for your flesh and the best day for Jesus in you. It's exactly what the Father needed to happen. And all of a sudden, the Father goes, now they're coming, they're coming. And they're all like, oh, man, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. Just make me a servant. Oh, I shouldn't even be coming. Oh, have I done, you know? But he sees the Son that's always been in us that we just never. Yeah, we acknowledged, we preached, we taught, we sung, but never let live. Never knew exactly that he was a slaughtered lamb and how he lives. And he goes, ready to come to my feast. I'm ready to come to my runs out there. And he's throwing his arms around him and he's going, why are you hugging me? I'm the worst guy in the world. There's nothing here. He's like, I know there's nothing. There's nothing in this earthen vessel. You're the earthen vessel. Yes, that's right. You're crucified. You're removed. But the Son is in you. And I see the Son in you. I've always seen the Son in you. You just haven't related to me by him. But come on. Come on into the house. Come on. Get the fatted calf. Kill it. Kill it. We're going to eat the crucified Christ. That's who that Son in you is. He's not just a Son. See, that's the unformed Christ. He may not be dead, but he's unformed. There's times when he's kicking, but he's unformed. That unformed Christ is, I have Jesus and he loves. In a general kind of sloppy-agoppy way, but he's there. Or he gives, but he, you know. But when we start entering into the Father's feast, that's what the Scripture shares. He starts laying out those inward parts of that sacrifice, that lamb, that slain lamb, which is the Son in us. And he says, look at how his heart is. When we say lay your life down, look at the motives of the Son. Look at the beauty of his inward parts. Look, this is my Son. I'm opening him up to you right now. I've slain him and I'm laying him open so you can do what? Look at him and write a book? Preach a sermon, sing a song, feed your flesh pig food over it? Well, I've done it many times. I'm the guiltiest of all. No, so you can eat it. Get that Son in you. Get him in there. He has a beating in your heart, filling you with his mind, motivating you on the inside, your meditations, your intentions. New motivations coming from a lamb formed, a formed Son. A forming Son. Got to eat those inward parts. Got to understand how he works, not in your head, but by getting him in you, forming. So that one day, like we were sharing about a lot, he comes out in what? In our attitudes. In how we respond. That all of a sudden, I don't want to glory in what God did in an anointing through me. I want to glory in the thing that nobody saw. Except the Father. When I silently, by the nature of the Lamb, laid my life down and blessed those who cursed me, did not declare myself, did not say, Jesus, use me. That's prodigal, far country stuff. But that, all glory, all. So many times Randy's come up to me and he said, all glory. And I said, gosh, Randy, can't you just give me a little glory? I mean, I organize the conference, I preach, I give unto me, that uncrucified Kelly just getting offended. I want some glory. Randy, faithful to the Father, faithful to the gospel, other people in that same heart, look me in the eye and say, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Father. No glory to you, you're crucified. And the fact that you need glory is part of God trying to bring you into his view in a deeper way and get you home. I need to get, and that's going to take what? The cross. The cross has to, in my life, come to those areas that still want to glory, want to be seen, have to have revenge, have to be understood, need to be explained, have to be gloried. All those motives and intents that emanate from that little monster. Remember that night? That little monster, that alien life form that just has to feed on hot food. And it has to manifest and get glory and crucify Christ again and again. You can't live in me, son, because I need to be glory. I need the throne. I need the worship. I need to be the reflection in the mirror. I need people to glory in my beauty. You are a monster. You're an alien life form to God. It's vile. It has to be crucified. And we have to draw that line. That was also preached. Draw that line in the sand and say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Father's side. No more. You are dead. And I'm not talking doctrine today. I'm serious. This land belongs to the Son, and this house belongs to the Father, and it's their life that I'm entering into. So the cross must come. Remember, was it last two nights ago? My Lord, how faithful was our Father to apply the cross that night so powerfully and wonderfully. But he has to if he's going to get his son. If he doesn't, we are, what does the scripture say? Bastards. Hebrews chapter what? 11? 12? 12. Him who the Father does not chasten is as a bastard. But he chastens us by the cross. By the reality that we've been crucified. He doesn't reject us because he already rejected all flesh when his son died. But he says, that's already been rejected, and I'm going to apply that rejection, which is already finished, and you're in me now, to that area that you're letting live, that you should be mortifying and rejecting as, that's been crucified. I'm not going to give it place. Give no place to the flesh. Put off the old man. Put on the new. Paul said, that's our place. That's us taking the cross and saying, no more doctrine. Now I'm going to bring the Father his son. I'm going to do it in a real way. That's what the Lord is impressing on my heart in these days. So I'm just looking at this verse. It says, I am not worthy to be thy son. I am ready for the real son to be revealed in me. And I was thinking about Paul, a Pharisee among Pharisees. And he came to that place where he was ready for God to reveal his son in him. Who remembers one of the first verses that was shared with us during this time? Galatians chapter 1. So Paul is like the prodigal, out there offering up to God his best, but completely unaware of the Son of the Father's love, completely unaware of the true plan of God. Verse 15, we're in chapter 1 of Galatians. But when it pleased God, don't you love those two words? Pleased God. To do what? To separate me from my mother's womb. To call me by his grace. That he might reveal his son in me. How beautiful are those words. After all that has been poured into us in these days. Let's read that again. But when it pleased God, we're talking about the realm of his pleasure now. What's going to be in the realm of God's pleasure? Oh, his son. But when it pleased God to separate me from all this far country flesh, pig pen, me. He separated me from that first birth through the cross. He separated me from me. Unto what? He called me by his grace. That he might reveal his son in me. Isn't that what he did to the prodigal? He called him by his grace so he might reveal the real son in, not just to, but in us. Immediately, Paul said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Why? Why was it so immediate? The Spirit said, I don't know who said it was the Father. Why was it so immediate that Paul didn't confer with the flesh right after the Son was revealed? Because he knew it's the Son now. There's no more trying to work it or figure it out or get a little better, try a little. Immediately, I am out of this realm of the first birth. I am out of the realm of me. I'm out of the far country. I am out of the first creation. And immediately now, because the Son has been revealed in me, I'm in the realm of God. I'm in the realm of eternal life. No, not the flesh. Not flesh and blood. But I'm in the realm of the Father and the Son. That's where I live. That's who lives in me. That's what I'm about. That's my life. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? There's the prodigal right there taking that journey. And the Apostle Paul. Paul took that journey. And he followed the Father. Mm. I want the Father's eyes when I search the Scriptures. I want the Holy Spirit's. I don't want to just see what God can do, who God is, and what. I want to look in there and say, like the Father, when he saw just a glimmer of that potential for the slaughtered lamb in that prodigal, how his heart leapt. I want to partake of the feast and joy of the Godhead. And then I just glimpse that one in the Word, and then it could be formed in me. And that feast could continue in a living way. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not saying it well, but I just pray the Spirit is the one to communicate. So let's pray, and as we pray, not just that we go home with a new hunger and a new openness, but we have new eyes. New eyes not to see ourselves, not to see other people, not to see doctrines and things that we could glory in, but to see what the Father sees. His crucified Son. It's all he sees. It's all he wants to see. And that we could have his eyes. We could have his eyes in ever greater measure in regards to everything. So, Father, we believe for this. We cannot say thank you enough for what you have released. We cannot say thank you enough for the word you have somehow felt comfortable enough to share with this group. You must know there is true hunger in this people. For you would not just release such pearls. It was just swine wanting swine food so they could feed it for their own glory. Lord, you must see potential, Son. Because that's why you run and open your heart. That's why you bring out the sacrifice in this way. So, Father, bless those hearts. Bless them with revealing your Son in them. Send the Holy Spirit, if need be, to make it worse until they're perishing with hunger and they're ready for the Son to be everything. Do whatever you need to do to receive the living and the crucified Son in us in a real way.
Yes.
Lord, there's been so many seeds sown. May they not just warm us. May they bring forth the living Son.
Yes.
In his true image as a lamb that was slain.
Yeah.
Oh, reveal your Son in greater measure.
Yeah.
To the redounding of your joy, O Father. To the feast of your eternal heart, O Father. Like Paul said, for those who love you in sincerity, answer their heart cry, Lord, that they may fulfill your desire. That they may fulfill your desire.